Our first pope, Pope Peter, said, cast all your worries upon Jesus because he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5. When something difficult happens, he said, let us accept it as coming from the hand of God, like the apostles did. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 5, stories like this crack me up. The apostles were brought out, and they were whipped and scourged for preaching Jesus, and they left that singing praise to God. Isn't that crazy? See, sometimes I think that I deserve better, like because I work for God. I gave up my flying career for Jesus, so he's really going to take good care of me, right? I kind of sometimes feel like I deserve it. St. Teresa of Avila, you know, this cart goes by, and she gets splashed in all this mud, and she says, Jesus, if that's how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you don't have very many. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus, he doesn't promise, hey, man, we're together, I'm going to make this easy for you. All of the apostles, except for St. John, were killed because of Jesus, and St. John was exiled. Do you know there's been more martyrs in the 20th and 21st century than the first 2,000 years of Christianity? That being a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean things are easy. In fact, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, get ready to suffer. And St. Alphonsus says, in that suffering, God is bringing good out of it. St. Alphonsus says, we have to form the habit of offering ourselves to God frequently. Throughout the day, when something bad happens, someone cuts you off, God, your will be done. Someone, you know, you can't find your wallet, God, your will be done. Offer yourself to God every day, multiple times. He tells us, St. Alphonsus says, that St. Teresa of Avila would do this 50 times a day, no matter what happened. Okay, I ran out of soap, God, your will be done. This doesn't work, God, your will be done. Over and over again. I'm going to ask you a dumb question that I know the answer to, but I'm going to ask it just so that you feel more involved. How many of you would love to see your deepest desires satisfied? Some of you are like sadists. You're like, not me, man. I want to be miserable. But most of us, I mean, if you're honest, you want to see your deepest desires satisfied, right? Well, this is what happens when you practice uniformity with God's will. Okay, this goes back to 10th grade geometry. So for those of you that weren't into geometry, get ready. We're going to do a little bit of math. Okay, remember this from 10th grade or 9th grade if you were smart. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Some of you didn't get it. Okay, we'll try it again. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, right? This is what it is. If you want God's will to be done, I mean, when you pray the Our Father, if you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and you really mean it, if you want God's will to be done, and if nothing can prevent God's will from being done, if everything that happens, happens by the will of God, then everything that happens is going to be what you want. If you want the will of God to happen, and if everything that happens is the will of God, then everything that happens is going to be exactly what you want. That's the definition of happiness, right? I got what I want. St. Alphonsus tells a story of a priest named Father John Towler. And Father John was a good priest. He did his duty. He said his mass. He prayed his divine office. He counseled his parishioners. But after years of the priesthood, he just felt like, there's got to be more. He was just kind of going through the motions, and he felt like his priesthood was just kind of dry. And so he was praying, God, please send me someone that could just lead me or mentor me or show me how to grow in faith. And he prayed for years, and eventually at a certain point, he felt like in his prayers that God said, go to such and such a church, and you're going to find your answer. It wasn't an audible voice, but in his heart he felt like, God wants me to go to this church. I'm going to find an answer. So he goes to this church, and there's this a barefooted beggar sitting on the front stairs begging for money. Now, Father John is on his way in the church, and so he's being polite. He says, "Hey, good day, my friend." And the beggar says, "Thank you, sir, for your kind wishes, but I don't recall ever having a bad day." So Father John's still kind of in a rush to get inside the church, and so he's just making nice small talk, and he says, "Well, God has truly certainly given you a happy life." And the beggar says, "Oh, yes, that is very true, sir. I have never been unhappy." In saying this, Father, I'm not making any rash statement either. Here's the reason. When I have nothing to eat, I give thanks to God. When it rains or snows, I bless God's providence. When someone insults me or drives me away or otherwise mistreats me, I give glory to God. Father, I said I've never had an unhappy day, and it's the truth, because I'm accustomed to will unreservedly what God wills. Whatever happens to me, sweet or bitter, I gladly receive coming from his hands as what is best for me." That got Father John's attention. And so Father John asked him, "Where did you find God?" "Oh, I found him where I left creatures." "Who are you anyway?" He said, "I am a king." "Well, where's your kingdom?" "In my soul, where everything is in good order, where my passions obey reason and my reason obeys God." He said, "How have you found this state of perfection?" He says, "By conversing with God, spending time in prayer." Union with God's will brought this beggar to the heights of perfection. And this isn't like a little made-up story. This really happened. This beggar, he was richer than Donald Trump or Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos, the newest, richest man in the world, the founder of Amazon. It has nothing on this beggar. This beggar had everything he wanted, even though he had nothing in a material sense. This is the beautiful freedom that we have as God's children. There's a scripture verse, Philippians 4:7. It says that if we unite ourselves to God's will, we could receive this peace that surpasses all understanding. I mentioned this last night, but there's some scripture verses that you read them and you think, "Oh, isn't that sweet? It just sounds really holy, but it's not meant to be taken literally. I mean, can you really receive a peace that surpasses all understanding?" The answer is yes. When you're united to God's will, even when the storms come, you can have this peace. In fact, I'm guessing all of us know someone that even when crazy things happen to them, they have this peace. You know, their basement gets flooded, their roof gets flown off, their crops are doing terribly, whatever the case is, and they're just serenely trusting in the Lord. That's what uniformity with God's will does. Sirach chapter 27. Sirach 27 says, "A fool is changed like the moon." A fool is changed like the moon. Like on any given night, if you go outside and you look up at the moon's in a different phase every night. Every single night, the moon's different. You have a new moon, a full moon, a crescent moon, a waning moon, a waxing moon. I don't know all the different moon names, but there's a lot of them. He says a fool is like that. Sirach says a fool is like the moon. Every day, they're in a different mood. It depends on what's happening. Do you know that person, like, don't point fingers to anyone in the room, but you wonder, I wonder what kind of mood they're going to be in today. You know, if the Vikings lost, they're not going to be in a good mood. Or if it's raining out, they're not going to be in a good mood. And there's certain people in our life that you have to approach very gently because you're not sure what mood they're going to be in. St. Alphonsus says, no offense, but that person is a fool. A fool is someone whose demeanor, their serenity, depends on something outside of themselves. And St. Alphonsus says, instead, we should be like the sun, the S-U-N, the sun. Even though we don't see it sometimes in the winter here in the Midwest, the sun is constant. It's always a full sun. There's no half sun, waning sun, waxing sun. The sun is always constant in its serenity. We should also be like the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God, who no matter what happened, was constant in his serenity. Those who are in uniformity with God's will are like the sun. Another verse that sounds like, that can't be taken literally, well, it is. It's John 16. Jesus said, your joy no man will take from you. Your joy will be full. This is one of his last promises to his disciples. He said, your joy will be full. No one can take your joy from you. This is to the group of people that just a short while later all got martyred except for one, and that person ended up exiled. Think about the martyrs who went to their death singing praise songs. My favorite, my recent favorite, is Paul Meeke and the Japanese martyrs. I won't give you the whole story, it would take too much time, but these martyrs, these Christians in Japan, were marched for 30 days to their death site, and they had all these crosses customized for the site, the height of the person. So they had all these crosses ready for these people to be crucified, and there was a couple young boys, 12-year-old Anthony was his name, and when he marched after 30 days, he knew which cross was his because it was the small one, and he ran up and he embraced the cross. And as he hung on the cross dying, he spoke words of peace to his family, saying, don't worry. It's just amazing. When you read some of the lives of the saints, you think, how could they have done that? Were they just crazy? No. But when we unite ourselves to God's will, the saints tell us, this is what happens. You can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. How did Mother Teresa sit in urine-infested gutters with people with all sorts of diseases with a smile on her face? Was she like a lunatic? No. She had this peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's not reserved for a few special holy people. It's reserved for all special holy people, all people called to be saints, us. Hopefully, you're intrigued a little bit to say, okay, let's do this. Let's practice uniformity with God's will. Up till now, this was all theoretical. I want to get real practical now. St. Alphonsus gives us 5 or 6 different areas that we can practice uniformity with God's will. And he starts with the easiest things, the external things, and then he slowly works to the inside. So let me just briefly go on these. And again, you can read these all. It's an easy work. It sounds like a saint from the 17th century, like, oh, 18th century, it's going to be hard to read. It's a really easy read. You can get it for free online, uniformity with God's will. But he talks about it. He says, the first thing, if you're going to practice uniformity, now I'm not even joking, I know we're in Fargo, North Dakota, and I know we have winters out here that last 6 months, but the very first thing St. Alphonsus talks about is the weather. He says, when the weather doesn't suit your desires, we have to avoid expressions like, oh, it's freezing. Because, wait a minute, if you really want God's will to be done, who made it 20 below? God. Then why are you complaining? Now, my point is, well, St. Alphonsus never lived in Fargo. He lived in a much temperate climate, but the point is still pretty, it's valid. Or when it's really hot, oh, it's so hot out, this is horrible. Wait a minute, I thought we wanted God's will to be done. Why are we complaining about a little weather if we want to be saints, if we're going to try to get ready in case someday the Lord calls us to be a martyr, if we can't handle a little cold weather, or in Fargo's lot of cold weather, then how are we ever going to be united to God in those areas that are really difficult? So maybe if this whole night, if some of this stuff, I once gave a parish mission and a guy came up to me and said, oh, that was fantastic. I didn't understand anything you said, but it sure was good. And I was like, did he compliment me or insult me just now? I really don't know. But maybe it sounds like I'm talking gibberish and you don't understand any of this because I'm just not a good communicator, maybe. I don't know. If you remember just one thing, maybe what you can work on is I'm not going to complain about the weather. For the next, let's see, until May. It's all winter. I'm not going to complain about it being cold. Maybe that's your one takeaway from this night. That's a good first step. He says, when the weather doesn't meet your desires, avoid expressions like it's freezing. If you have any kind of an accident or any kind of injury or something bad happens to your house, to your car, whatever, he says, say, oh, Lord, do whatever seems good to you. I want what you want. Okay, Lord, I want what you want. Someone dings your car, God, your will be done.